it's kind of good to look back and see the way it was back in the old days. And reading from a book, one of the favorite books in my library, from time to time I go to this book, written by Joseph R. Washington Jr. back in the early 60s, Black Religion, the Negro and Christianity in the United States, Beacon Press. You can probably pick up the book somewhere, and it'll be one of the nicest jewels that you'll have in your library if you really want to study African-American or Black religion in the United States of America. On page 209, it says, it is widely known that camp meetings and revivals prior to the insurrections provided occasions for Blacks or Negroes together in mass to hear the word, quote unquote, at times the word of God, but usually of man. What I like about Washington is that he didn't play with it. He goes on and says that this setting provided unusual opportunities to risk escape. Now, you have to understand what he meant by that. You know, escaping the plight that we find ourselves in as Black folk. But those who failed to participate were in an even more dangerous predicament. Now, let's listen to some of the words, and I think that Joseph does a fine job in documenting some of these words. And as we pay attention to them, I think that we can learn from them. Remember these words, sinner, please don't let this harvest pass. Sinner, please don't let this harvest pass. Harvest pass. Sinner, please don't let this harvest pass and die and lose your soul at last. See, now there it is, there it is, there it is. You know, risking escape is what we're talking about here. Listen to this one. Spirituals were used in the Black community to call secret meetings at midnight and at the break of dawn. Listen to this. Let us praise God together on our knees. Let us praise God together on our knees. Let us praise God together on our knees. When a falls on man knees, with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me. You get it? Risking escape, 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 escape. Here's another one. Deep river. My home is over Jordan. Deep river. Lord, I want to cross over into campground. Lord, I want to cross over into campground. Here, these songs were sending messages. Joseph goes on and says that Bishop Francis Ashbury of the Methodist Episcopal Church North was instrumental in the late 18th century declarations by Methodists against slavery, later revoked. In what he called the Egypt of South Carolina, Bishop Ashbury lost his health in behalf of the Negroes or the Blacks, to whom he was Moses. Listen, go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land, tell O Pharaoh to let my people go. Escapism, escapism. So Christianity is practiced by many Black folk was a kind of escapism that they were looking towards. The tumultuous days following the Nat Turner insurrection were extremely difficult ones for the slaves. This was a period when Negroes were no longer permitted or inspired by Black exhorters without the most scrutinizing supervision. Oh, what a morning, oh, what a morning, oh, what a morning. When the stars begin to fall. Then Joseph goes on, Mr. Washington, the author of this fine text, says that Reconstruction days brought about tremendous changes in the life of the freedmen, full of uncertainties. And he sees it in song. He says, nobody knows the trouble I had. Nobody knows but Jesus. Nobody knows the trouble I've had. Glory, hallelujah. It's good to read these historical things. He even has one down here. In order to meet the Underground Railroad and escape the cruelty of the overseers, Blacks found it advantageous to steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. And you know what? I find it extraordinary that many Black churches still sing these slave songs. And I recall when I first became a Christian years ago, of course, most of the Christians that I had come in contact with were from a Southern background. Therefore, they carried these slave songs over. I recall when we had Men's Day in our church, that and I was a young man, and of course I could always sing. I'm not bragging. I just had a voice. And they would, you know, most of the brothers up in the men's choral group couldn't sing. And so quite naturally, they would ask me to lead in the song. And the lady would get one of these slave songs. Oh, Canaan, sweet Canaan, I'm bound for the land of Canaan. And I didn't know what I was talking about. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. What? Huh? You know, kind of like this representation. And I'm not making mockery of it. I'm just saying, you know, did I know what was going on? Joseph Washington goes on and says on page 212 that it is difficult to express, much less develop, a faith out of protests, which are essentially negations rather than affirmations. One reason why blacks, or Negroes as he calls us, have never been able to set forth theological tenets based upon a quasi-religious experience. The protest of spirituals was meant to provide escape from desperate circumstances. And this is why when I was called, now this is me talking, not reading. This is why when I was called as a Christian and I went into the traditional black Baptist church and they had me singing these slave songs, I was trying to figure out what in the heck it was that I was trying to escape from. I had known that God had spoken to my heart. I knew that I was a believer. I knew that he saved me. But what was I to escape from? My plight of being black in America? No. Yes, I have the experience. People that didn't like me, and I've experienced it from the other side. A lot of blacks in my community that didn't like the whites. So I experienced it on both sides of the fence, but not to the degree that I figured that I would have to. Great little book. Yeah, to get this book because it will open up your eyes to a lot of things that's going on. I thought that I'd just share with you on this very quick webcast. And, oh, man, they have some interesting statistics. And it's interesting because this book was in 1965 when it was written. And what he does is he has on page 233 this list of how many people were in certain, how many blacks were in certain denominations. And I'm sure that list has changed. I would like to read a compilation on these things, The Challenge of the Negro and White Christians. Excellent chapter. If you get a chance to read that, one paragraph here, listen to this. Listen to this. It says, Negro congregations have a Christianity divorced from the mainstream of the Christian faith. What is at stake here is more than the socioeconomic factors which divide Negroes from Negroes and Negroes from whites of the same social background. There is a theological division between Negroes and whites of the same denomination and class. And then it says, be they Congregational, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, or Lutheran, quote, unquote. What a startling paragraph. But when you really look at the consequences of the same, you find that this book will be a prize in your library. I just thought that I'd resurrect it again because I find myself more often than not going to this text and gleaning from past history. Thank you, Joseph R. Washington, Jr. At that time, he was dean of the chapel and the associate professor of religion at Albion College in Albion, Michigan. He was a graduate of the University of Wisconsin and the Andover Newton Theological School and received his doctorate in theology from Boston University. Back in the day, well-learned, well-read, and it's a book that will keep you ahead of the game. Thank you for coming to my website. I just wanted to say thank you again. You will note that I'm kind of changing the theme on my website here, and I think that we've rested as well as I could, the JMJ thing. Whew, man, continue to pray for me. I'm still fighting the good fight. Wow. As we watch our nation plummet into more and more uncertainty. This is Pastor John in Los Angeles, California. Whatever you do, stay in the Word.